This podcast is brought to you by our sponsors at Everard's Tiger, ADT Taxes, Peter's Pizzeria, and loserpool.com. Right, today's show, I have the gaffer, Phil Holloway, on. I'm just going to discuss a few bits and bobs that's come up in the news regarding Leicester and Kasper Schmeichel, and also talk about that DVD, the Champions DVD that I've just rewatched for the first time since we won the Premier League. Hi, Phil, how are you? Hope you're well.
Very good, Lee. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I've just seen a piece of news from the Leicestershire Live. They have basically said that his dad, Peter Schmeichel, would love to see Kasper Schmeichel join Manchester United. Do you think that is something that's going to happen in the future, Phil?
Well, De Gea, again, is having a great season. Made a tremendous save, didn't he, against Gazelle when we played them a couple of weeks ago. But so De Gea is definitely a world-class keeper, and every summer, every transfer window, Real Madrid or somebody's coming in for De Gea, aren't they? So if he was to go, there would be a massive hole to fill at Man United. Do I think Kasper's good enough to be a Man United keeper? Maybe. And obviously the heritage with his dad there. So
he's got the connection, isn't he?
There's definitely a connection there. And with how things are with Solskjaer there, if he was to carry on, maybe that's where some of this is coming from, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. It was basically quoted from Kasper Schmeichel's dad, Peter, during an interview at the weekend. He suggested that Leicester are a better team than they are performing at the moment, with the right manager to get the best yes. out of the players. What do you think to that?
Well, Lee, honestly, I mean, it's pretty blunt, isn't it?
But, well, yeah, you can't really put it in any other way, can you? He's basically said, Puel out.
Well, I think, yes. And not quite saying Puel out, but he's sort of definitely saying, look, that there is a good bunch of players there and, you know, not perhaps got the manager who's going to guide them anywhere.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It really is at the minute with the fans. It's just we're so split. There's a lot of us that are on the fence, like myself, who's, sorry guys, I've jumped off. But there's a lot of people that are on the fence. Phil, yourself, you're sort of still on the fence, right?
I'd say I'm just still in keeping, I'm certainly in keeping Puel in this season. I think that's all I can say at the moment, Lee, is until the end of the season, let's stick with Puel and see how the season ends up. That's my stance at the moment, Lee.
Yeah, definitely. The big argument is against people that want him out is who's going to come in. I know we've discussed this before, but we are getting nearer and nearer and nearer to the end of the season. And, you know, it's getting to a point where if he does go, seriously, who's going to come in? Because, like, do you want Rafa Benitez? No. I'll tell you who I want. I want Eddie Howe. But would he leave Bournemouth, Phil? Are we a bigger club?
To come to Leicester. I'm not sure I'd want Eddie Howe anyway. I think he's decent and a young English manager. Lots of the right credentials. But I would think he'd stick it. Bournemouth are higher than Leicester in the league table. We class ourselves as a bigger club, Lee. But I think Eddie Howe will be thinking, I think I could go, if I'm going to move from Bournemouth, I'll go bigger than Leicester.
Somewhere like Everton, maybe.
I was just going to say, Everton. Somebody like that, he would think, yeah, and Everton maybe sneaking. I don't know. He's never probably going to get the job at Arsenal or Man U, is he?
No, I think unfortunately, the top six seem to be the jobs for foreign managers for some reason.
It seems to be because you'd look at Pochettino, who went from Southampton, did really quite well at Southampton without winning anything. Did well there. You could argue Eddie Howe has done even better with Bournemouth than Pochettino did with Southampton.
Which is so why I mentioned Eddie Howe, because if he had
he could
more
go to Spurs. Eddie Howe could go to Spurs, Lee.
I'd like to see him at Leicester with more money and a bit more of an ambitious club. But there you go. We can all dream, right?
Yeah, this is part of the trouble, Lee, isn't it? If Club World go, certainly, I think if he was to go now, you're very limited on what managers are around. And Lee, I'm going to ask you, I thought we played excellent against Spurs and we've got a very young team developing. Isn't there good signs there?
We played well. I think we were unlucky in a way, but at the end of the day, it's down to putting the ball in the net. And that's what we didn't do. You know, we had, I think it was something stupid, wasn't it? For like 20 shots on and 12 on target, something along those lines. You've got to put goals away, mate. You really have. That amount of shots, you've got to put them away. I mean, how many chances did we need? Really? Come on.
Well, of course, I mean, Harvey Barnes had a couple of great chances. I thought played well, but obviously Jamie Vardy on the bench. But then coming on, if he'd have popped that penalty away late, could have been very different. If Harvey Barnes had popped that chance he had in the second half where he was one-on-one with the keeper, it puts him maybe it's just not clinical, like you say.
Yeah, I think there's another situation there with Jamie Vardy that the fans have either jumped on or jumped off, and that's down to the fact that if he scored on his first touch, it would have been like, see, you know, chat shit, get banged. But he missed, and it's like it's Puel's fault for some reason. Why would you make him take it on his first touch? You know, it's all Puel's fault regardless, isn't it?
Yeah, well, if Vardy scores, it's great. Vardy should have been on the pitch all game. There you go. If Vardy misses, it's Puel's fault. Puel can't win. No. If he scores, it's Puel's fault for not having him on all game.
Yeah.
If he misses, it's Puel's fault for putting him on. I mean, Madison was set up to take the penalty. He got the ball. He won the penalty. He probably wanted to take it, even though he's missed two this season already. But he sees Vardy coming on, and fair enough, he doffs his cap and says, "All right, Jamie Vardy, you're Premier League top scorer, you know, over the past few years, pop it in the net."
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Madison, by the way, who just brought Madison up, he's quoted saying, basically playing alongside Yuri from Belgium, the international 21-year-old Yuri Tillman that's just signed. It said that he's brilliant. We want as much quality in the club as possible, and that is only a positive thing for me and all of the other players, and Yuri is that man to bring quality into the squad. So what did you think to his debut against Spurs?
I thought, well, obviously, I'd have played better myself, Lee, if I was in there. So they should have brought me on at Wembley. But apart from that, I thought he was really... He looked like the bit of the missing jigsaw we've not had. Because I thought in the summer, Madison was going to play a bit more of this role, a bit more of the cutting ball. But Madison seems to have been played a bit further forward. So we've needed somebody to connect the defence and the defensive midfield through to the strikers. We've been saying it all season, haven't we, Lee? That there's no threading ball forward. And Tielemans seemed like he was doing those nice 30, 40-yard balls on the ground, cutting the defence open.
Yeah, he's exciting, mate. I give him that. Madison, for me, has seemed to have lost his form a little bit for Leicester. And he's been subbed off quite a lot as well. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think he's maybe carrying something, like an injury that no one's sort of told us about? Or is there anything else? Do you think he's just struggling to adapt?
No, I don't think he's struggling to adapt. I think he's adapted very well, is my opinion. I've heard a few rumours that it's going a bit to his head.
Oh, really? So it's that way round?
Possibly. You know, again, young lads thinking they've made it. I'm not saying it's that. That's just the rumours I'm hearing from people who've been uptown and maybe seen a few things. But, you know, he definitely hasn't had as much impact over the last maybe couple of months, has he, Madison? So, and yet, I still think, I said it in the summer, I saw him in the pre-season match against Notts County and said, this guy could be the next David Beckham. And I still stand by that.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. And to be fair, when he started playing for the first few games, I sort of kind of backed you really there, because he still looks like he's going to be an outstanding player going forwards in his career. England international, you reckon?
Well, he's had one, hasn't he? One call.
Yeah, but do you think he'll be in this team, you know, like a staple 11?
I was speaking to an Arsenal fan earlier today, and the player he picks out of all the players at Leicester was Madison. He says
a lot of people do.
Yeah, so other fans from other clubs are seeing what Madison is doing and saying, you know, he was saying, I wish Arsenal had gone in for him and had him.
Yeah, Yeah, I agree, mate. Now you've just mentioned that. I've spoke to a few people myself through the football community, like the United stands Flex. He's also a big fan of Maddison. He wants him in the Man United squad. He says him and Pogba would do damage.
This is what I say, Lee, again, coming back to all the Pule Out people who are listening, is, you know, we've got Chilwell, we've got Hamza Chowdhury, we've got Madison.
Matty James is still, you know, just struggling with for fitness, with injuries. He seems like he's going to be...
A whole host of young players, you know, Maguire.
Yeah, definitely.
Ricardo
Pereira, what an amazing player he is. But he has cost us two games now with the mistakes. I'm not saying it's his fault, but the goals have come from mistakes by him twice.
It's tricky, isn't it? If you're a defender or a keeper, you make one mistake in 95 minutes and it's the whole game's your fault. Whereas a strike, we have 20 chances against Spurs and countless chances against Man United. Pereira made one sloppy pass that Mendy couldn't get his little short legs to. And then suddenly that Man United score. But we had another 90 minutes to equalise, and we had chances, didn't we?
I see what you mean. So you basically what you're saying is that if it's the back four and we let one in because of a mistake, it's their fault. But yeah, at the top end, they have 20 goes and don't score. It's not their fault.
Well, yeah, you could. If I was a defender, I'd be saying, look, I have one mistake and they score, and you guys have had 20 chances up top, 9 on target, and you couldn't score. So, you know, it's a two-way thing, isn't it? You need to defend well and score a few. And we have been lacking in the goals.
We have.
And we've been letting too many early goals in.
That's been the case the whole season nearly now, isn't it? It's getting ridiculous. That same stat every time. There's the first goal in 10 minutes at the King Power. We've gone from a fortress to a...
Yes, it is. It's not... King Power is not a fortress anymore at the moment, Lee. Is it the team? Is it how they play?
I don't know, but there's no 12th man either because the fans are dead. No. The atmosphere is awful, Phil. I've been going down there now. It's getting colder and getting miserable, and I'm not enjoying it either. That's the thing.
But then this is where the Claude Puel Out Brigade will say it's Puel's style of play sucked the living daylights out of the King Power Stadium.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what turned me, Phil, was the Man United game. But the lackluster atmosphere and performance both added to my reasons for wanting him out. I don't want him out right now. I want him gone in the summer. I don't want him to stay. I want him gone in the summer. So that's me. I am a Puel outer, but not like a rabid Puel out right now. You know.
I mean, Lee, we've got Crystal Palace and Brighton coming up. We'll probably lose them. I need something to peek through. I need a cushion to hide behind.
Tell me about it, mate. I'm worried because if we don't pick the bloody points up soon, we've got the last three fixtures of the bloody hardest fixtures I think we've had for years: Man City, Arsenal, and Chelsea back to back. As the last three games. Imagine if we need 6 points to stay up or something.
We just need to get...
I'm worried.
Probably we need to get 4 or 5 or 6 points as quick as possible. And if you beat Palace and you beat Brighton, there's your 6 points, you're safe. Without any of the...
Yeah.
We're not getting in a relegation battle, Lee. We're not. We just can't. Can we? We can't.
We're better than the teams at the bottom. Put it that way. We are better than the bottom teams. We're better than. But I'm still worried if we don't pick up the points, we might slide down there. That's all I'm worried about. Yes. I don't want a 1 point here, a 1 point there against teams that we should be beating. We need to get those 3 points against the teams we should be beating, like Brighton.
Palace is next up, Lee.
Palace is a tricky one.
If we don't get... Yeah, they're not a rollover on the day. They can be... teams, but we've got to get 3 points against Crystal Palace at home. We have to.
Yeah. Are you going to be going to the game, Phil?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not quite a must win. I think if I was Claude Puel, I'd be like, these two games, you want to get at least 4 points out of those two, don't you? If not six.
Now, we're talking about the Crystal Palace game like it's going to be tomorrow or something, but the fact is we haven't got any football coming up for at least another week yet because, well, to be honest with you, we're out of the cups.
don't remind us, Lee. Don't remind us.
Hey, look, we're talking about Leicester. I've got to remind you the fact that we got put out the FA Cup by Newport County.
Well, I mean, fair play, like we said before, fair play to them. And fair play to them, they went to Middlesbrough, did a number at Middlesbrough and got the draw and then beat them in the replay. So well played Newport. They've got Man City, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, that, again, another team that's put us out that got Man City. Wasn't that what happened last time as well?
Yeah.
With the League Cup. Was it Burton that got Man City?
And the Cup is... The thing with Poel again, Lee, is if we'd been sat here, the position we're in, mid-table-ish, and we were booked into that League Cup final in Wembley in a couple of weeks, isn't it, against Chelsea, we just couldn't be having these conversations because we'd be going, great, we're going to Wembley. I'm looking forward to it. But we're not, are we? We blew the League Cup as well.
I know, mate. I know. Well, at least we've been to Wembley this season against Spurs.
Oh, you're depressing me now with the cup talk. You see, again, this is where the Puel outlot get their depressions from, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Right, I'm going to move on anyway. I've just watched this DVD, Phil, LCFC Champions Edition DVD, the 2015-16 season, the story that defied the odds. And watching it back just gave me some, oh God, goosebumps, to be quite honest. You need to watch it again, Phil. You really do, because you've not watched it either yet since we won the league, right?
That's right. No, I want to now. I'm getting ready to watch it.
Yeah. Well, the time for me today, I had a day off and I watched it. I sat there and watched it and we look so different to what we are now. We're so explosive, fast, out the, you know, play from the back is what we do now, right? But we seem to, even though we weren't playing from the back, it seemed like we almost played from the back within, I don't know, 10 seconds. We're up top scoring goals. It was mind-boggling stuff, Phil. It really is, and you need to watch it. You need to re-watch it.
Yeah, I'd probably be too depressed if I watched it. we have to watch now, but, you know.
That's how it's got me right now. You know what it does to you, Phil? You watch it, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself on YouTube or on Google searching up all sorts of different stuff that happened during that season. You can't help but sort of get involved with it all again.
I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like a dream, wasn't it? And again, just such an amazing experience. But that maybe we'll look back on that and say that is one of the big building blocks of what is happening now in the bigger picture of Leicester. Maybe with the new training, like you did a great video, Lee, on the training facilities that's going to be coming and the extension to the ground.
Yeah,
it looks
amazing.
It's a bit like playing, if you're playing Football Manager or something on the computer, you're building this club not over like 6 months. You're trying to build it over like 10 years, aren't you?
Exactly.
When they've got that training facility and the extension to the ground, if you look at where Leicester was 10 years ago from when that is like that, you'll go, wow, this is a space age club ready to be in the top 10 of the Premier League every season.
Yeah, seriously, guys. If you're listening to this, make sure you check that out. I made a video. We can put it back up on leicesterfantv.com. We can put it back up on Facebook as well. It's an amazing, amazing little spectacle we've got going. It's an ambition that Mr. Vichai actually, you know, foreseen himself. So I think hopefully it goes ahead still, Phil.
I've not heard anything to the contrary, Lee. So I think everybody's assuming that that is what's still happening.
Well, it got the go ahead, didn't it, on a vote as well. So yeah. I'm just looking at it now in front of me. It's absolutely insane.
When you're trying to sign new players in, when you're competing against the big clubs and you're trying to sign new players in, when you take them to, have you been down to Beaver Drive training, the Leicester City one, Lee?
I've not been for probably maybe 2 years.
But you know what it's like.
It's
about four or five pitches stuck amongst a load of terraced houses.
Yeah, it's just
semi-temporary, you know, concrete-y, warehouse-y stand, which is all very nice, but it certainly isn't what the £100 million thing, space age, is it 22 pitches, Lee, like this?
It's ridiculous, mate. I'm just looking at it now. There's so much going on. It's got 14 pitches, a 9-hole golf course. Just insane. You know, there's an on-site hotel. You'll be able to book tickets to watch the players train as well.
So when you're trying to sign that new player and he's and you're showing him around Beaver Drive, or you're showing him around that, and he's looking at other clubs, you know, it's going to help bring in better players all the time and develop. Again, big thumbs up to people like Harvey Barnes and Hamza Chowdhury, and you know, Ben Chilwell, all these lads who we've developed from young players. That's the way we want to see as a club, isn't it? Local, local players coming through.
Well, it says here that they'll be able to facilitate a competitive level matches as well there as well. So yeah. I'm assuming like your local sort of, you know, sides, you know, OB and I don't know, whoever.
Maybe, maybe local cup finals. I'm sure Leicester.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So that's what the club's trying to build. It's not just, it's a shame as fans. We want to see what's on the, we want to beat Crystal Palace and then we want to beat Brighton. But within the club, they're looking at the big, big, big picture, aren't they?
Maybe that's what we all need to do, is take a step back and look at the big picture. We're in the Premier League. We've got future plans. That's what is being done by Mr. Fashai's son now, I suppose.
If I was Claude Puel and my bosses were saying, look, Claude, this season you need to make sure mission one is to keep us in the Premier League. Mission two is to get us in the top half of the Premier League. And then mission three is to try and be pushing for that top six or seven spot. That's what he's been set. And he's about 4 points off being in seventh or eighth place. He's a couple of wins off. And I sound like I'm a massive Puelin fan, but I'm just trying to give you the other side of the coin, which he's not far off doing probably what his bosses have asked him to do.
Yeah. I agree, mate. I do agree. I agree on what's going on with the club since the owners came in. I think we struggled to pay the electric bills, according to the Birch. You know, we was at a point of nowhere, weren't we? League One, we was going nowhere. Looked like we was really gonna be ending up like Portsmouth and, you know, some of the teams that were giants that crumbled. But no, that, you know, they put their resources into the club, and we got through a tough time in the Championship trying to get out of that flipping league, because it's a hard league to get out of once you're in the Championship, definitely. And then we turn into the Premier League, and the future's bright. Hopefully the future's blue.
It's been an amazing journey. If, like you say, 2009 we were in League One. I think 2001 was it, we were in administration around the turn of the century. And you just think, you know, here we are 20 years later, we've won the Premier League, we're going to have a state-of-the-art training facility, we're going to have a 40,000-seat stadium, which is sold out most weeks, with perhaps 30,000 season ticket holders. Again, I remember David Pleat's era in the mid-80s, where there was 7,000 or 8,000 Leicester fans going to a league match, Lee. So
I wasn't here, mate, in the mid-80s.
I know, because you're a lot younger than me, mate, but, you know. I remember it, and that was pretty dour.
Here's some memories, actually, Phil, while you're talking about memories. But just before we go, because I thought I'd close off on this, because this one hit hard this week. Sir Gordon, no, he wasn't Sir, was he? He wasn't knighted. Mr. Gordon Banks, the legend himself, sadly passed away. Is there any memories you do have of Banksy you can share with us, Phil? Because I was too young to really... I mean, I've seen, you know, some of the saves that he did make, especially that one against Pelé. But do you have any personal memories that you can share with us?
So first of all, Lee, I can't believe you're so cheeky to think that I'm old enough to remember Gordon Banks and goal at Leicester. I'm not that old.
But you're older than me, so maybe you've got some better...
Listen, the first keeper I remember at Leicester was Mark Wallington. I hope you've heard of him. He was a great keeper. He came after Schiltz. You set me off now. He came after Schiltz, who I didn't see, another great keeper. But this all stemmed, Leicester's history of great keepers really stemmed from Gordon Banks, who set the scene. I've obviously seen plenty of his stuff on YouTube and videos. I've seen, of course, his save against Pelé. But he did some tremendous stuff while he was at Leicester. He was in one of the best Leicester City sides there was up until recent days in that 60s team. Got to, obviously, the 69 Cup final, FA Cup final, which sadly we lost. And obviously, was a Leicester player.
Was that Tottenham Hotspur?
It was Man City.
Man City, okay.
But he was a Leicester player when we won the World Cup in 1966.
Yeah, so why the hell has Stoke got a statue of him holding the World Cup outside their ground? Why is it not outside ours? If he was at Leicester when he won the World Cup, it makes sense.
Yeah, there's a few things, isn't there, Lee? You know, things like that. What, you know, why is there no statue at Leicester of anybody yet? So,
yeah,
that's a different debate. But Gordon Banks, what a tremendous guy. What a tremendous bloke, I think, wasn't he?
Influential. Not just Leicester, the goalkeeping in England football, I think. England international, you know. So, I mean, Leicester have been, like you just said, since Gordon Banks, we've had some cracking goalkeepers over the years. And I still think we've still got cracking goalkeepers now, to this day.
I think Kasper's cracking. I think this season he's in high up there in the top five or six keepers in the Premier League. And Danny Ward looks really decent.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel a bit sorry. We haven't seen much of him. No. But like you say, like you started at the start, if Kasper was to go, I think we've got a suitable replacement ready and waiting in Danny Ward.
I think he'll be rubbing his hands if Kasper goes. To be honest, I think he'll sit straight in, because whenever we have seen him in between the posts, he's been outstanding.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right, thank you for your time, Phil. Make sure you listen to us on SoundCloud and on iTunes as well. And follow Phil on 100% LCFC on Facebook and on Twitter. That's at 100LCFC. Follow me at Lee_Chappie. Thank you for listening, and we shall see you on the next show. I think it will be Sunday morning with Jamie from Alcudia, the Fox's Arms, and then Phil's on Monday nights at 8:30, right, Phil?
That's right, Lee, yeah.
Yeah, and myself at 8. Yeah, go on.
I'm still fuming from you thinking I'm old enough to watch Gordon Banks.
No. It's not that. It's just the constant. You're obviously old. He loves this one. He's not going to let me go on this. No, it's just the fact that you're a little bit older than me. You might have some more stories that you've heard of than I have, because I've not been.
I've got to go, Lee. I've got to go and get my pension. I'll see you later.
But listen, so sorry, Phil. Cheers for having me on, Phil. Cheers, and I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.